Welcome to the Cyber Law and Business Report. Get the top story on the hot-button internet legal topics of the day. This is your home for the latest on internet law and policy. Hear the latest net trends impacting business and have your questions answered right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Now, please welcome your host, the founder of the Internet Law Center, Bennett Kelly.
Good morning. This is Bennett Kelly broadcasting live from the Internet Law Center here in Santa Monica, California, in the heart of Silicon Beach, part of the curvaceous slopes of California that Dr. Martin Luther King referenced in his I Have a Dream speech, where he said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And today is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. We're mindful of this day, and in our show notes at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com, you actually can find a link to a show we did with Tavis Smiley on his book, The Death of King. But I would just like to add one other quote from Dr. King, who I see as the George Washington of the second American Revolution that extended the promise of our first revolution to all Americans. And it's apropos for a time like today, where he said that history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. So we all have a duty to stand up and be heard, and that's what Dr. King is saying to us. But I want to welcome our guests today who have been great friends of the show, many been here many times, and you know, probably know them well. Dan Tynan, a journalist, and Brenda Christensen, she is the CEO of Stellar Public Relations. And welcome, both of you.
Good morning, Bennett.
Brenda, you with us?
Yeah, good afternoon. Perfect. From Florida.
And it's probably warmer there than it is here. Do you have any thoughts on Dr. King's anniversary? Do either of you remember that day?
I do, actually. I was little. Probably not as little as you guys, but I was 8 years old, and I remember watching TV with my parents, and all of a sudden this screen goes blank and the news comes on and Dr. King has been shot, and I had no idea who this guy was, but my parents started crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that day. I remember, you know, 2 months later, or was it 2 months? Yeah, 2 months later when Bobby was shot. I just remember seeing that played over and over again, but yeah. I don't. Do you have a favorite Dr. King quote?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, and it I think it's very appropriate for today's internet age. Nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
Wow. Very true. And Brenda, what about you? Do you recall much from that day?
Yeah, I was very small. I was only 4 years old, and it was one of my first memories. And the other memory was of JFK. And I was only about a year old, and I remember. And it was a time of great sorrow, but also of great hope. And I think that this quote by Dr. King, which is one of my favorites, really talks to the future and the future of children. And the quote is, "The function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character. That is the goal of true education." And as we all know, the children are our future. So
right.
I think that was great.
Thank you. That's spoken like a true mother. Well, we are here today to talk about the Facebook scandal and calls for, by some, including one of our guests, to leave Facebook, as in what I'm calling fix it. and borrowing from Brexit. And Dan has written a column about why I'm leaving Facebook and why you should too. And just for reference, in our show notes, we actually have a little summary of a brief history of Facebook controversies into a little PowerPoint slide, but we'll invite you to take a look at that if you need background on this issue. But Dan, why don't we start with you? Why are you leaving Facebook?
Well, you know, there's so many reasons. It really, you know, I've been covering Facebook, writing about social media and privacy since, you know, Facebook started, really. And, you know, I've seen this rodeo before. I've seen this show before. I've seen Facebook do something egregious, have a huge backlash, issue a tepid, passively voiced apology, offer a few more privacy controls, and then keep going. Monetizing more and more data, you know, giving more and more controls in harder and harder ways to find them. And I've had enough. You know, the final straw was the Cambridge Analytica thing. The final straw was allowing people to mine the profiles of millions of users without their knowledge, without their permission, and to use it to elect Donald Trump. And without really breaking any of Facebook rules, except the one where you're not supposed to sell this data to a commercial entity. So they followed Facebook rules. They mined the data of somewhere between 30 and 50 million Americans. And here we have the Trump presidency. I'm done.
And the thing is the Facebook, in many other areas, it can be quite aggressive with people who use the API interface. Mm-hmm. But somehow what they learned about Cambridge Analytica in, 2015? That the data was being used in ways other than is permitted, but did nothing, but just took their word at it. Didn't do any auditing, you know, whereas in so many other areas, they're so much more vigilant.
They wrote a strongly worded letter, and then they ignored it for 3 years.
What fun.
Yeah, Comic Sans probably.
That was good comeback. And you're seeing this growing chorus in response to this moment that maybe this was the tipping point. And I think two things come to mind. One is the statement by Apple CEO that Facebook is with Facebook the users are the product. It's time that this needs to be evaluated from a policy point of view. And it is triggering a policy debate. I look back the last time we talked about, seriously had debates about privacy on Capitol Hill. And that was in 2010. Since the midterm elections in 2010, when the Republicans took control of both houses of Congress, there has been no meaningful privacy debate. And so the fact that even now, with Republicans still controlling Congress, that there's a debate over that is quite significant. And as we mentioned offline, I think there's a meme that's somewhat apropos, and even if it may not be true, is a picture of CEO Mark Zuckerberg talking to a worker, and the caption from the worker is, "My dad says that you're spying on us," and Zuckerberg's response is, "He's not your father." So, Brenda, what is your take on this?
I look at all of this through a PR lens, of course, and they're doing the opposite of what you're supposed to do textbook for any crisis communication event. My biggest question is, where is Sheryl Sandberg in all of this? She's obviously not leaning in. She's leaning out.
Right.
And now there's calls for Mark to step down because they're not, like Dan said, they're not effectively addressing it to the public. And then they, like you said, they come out with a strongly worded letter and then they ignore it. So I think this time things are going to be different. I just watched the breaking news cycle, and it's been reported 2 hours ago on CNN that Mark is going to be testifying before Congress next week. So bring the popcorn. But one of the most difficult things I've ever had to say was on stage during The Economist, a cybersecurity simulation where I was playing the role of the press secretary. And I actually had to say this line with a straight face. And mind you, this was way back in 2010. I had to say, well, it's not like we can go rifling through everyone's Facebook profiles. we've always kind of known that Facebook is somewhat an arm of the government. It's a self-registry for the government. But I think this was egregious, and I agree with Dan. And I do have a conspiracy theory. I'm wondering, Mark Zuckerberg had made overtures. He kind of went on his U.S. tour, and people were talking about him possibly running for office. And I think it would have certainly been easier for him to run against Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton had she won. But, you know, I'll leave that to all the other conspiracy theorists.
Wow. Oh, so this is...
I used to cover politics as a newspaper reporter on a national and state level. So you have to wonder, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And maybe this is also an effort, you know, kind of a cloak and dagger behind the scenes kind of jockeying thing. But I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see. I think the proof in the pudding is going to be how they proceed leading up to the congressional testimony and afterward.
Well, I think that's going to be a test. I think it's how he responds to being challenged. And Zuckerberg has a very controlled appearance. And through the movie, you know, The Social Network, you see that he kind of has a certain disdain for those who aren't as smart as him, or he thinks aren't as smart as him. And I can see that testimony going very badly, you know, once he has to go off script. And, right. You know, in terms of Sheryl Sandberg, yeah, she has been invisible. But right from the start, people have been asking for Zuckerberg. And in terms of, you referenced the, you know, PR manual, I mean, I'd like to know, you know, if you look in the indexes and when you look up dumpster fire, does this come up? Because they've lost 19% of their value since this story broke.
Well, 81% to go.
Right. Yeah. And I think what's really interesting is what also is trending in the news cycle is this photographer who took a picture of Mark cleaning up after his dog. And they called him to Facebook headquarters and pretty much intimidated him in Trump fashion, kind of this thuggery about, you know, Mark's privacy is very important. And now, of course, this is another PR backlash about, okay, well, obviously his privacy is more important than any Facebook
user. Actually, it's funny you mention that. I saw a headline about how the steps Zuckerberg goes just to protect his garbage from being.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that, Dan?
Too. Yeah, there was a guy, there was a reporter who tried to dumpster dive on Zuckerberg, which is legal.
Right.
So he tried to do it in San Francisco because Zuckerberg has a house in the Mission and there was no trash there. So he went to his house in Palo Alto and he was intimidated by three beefy security guards who were outside. But Zuckerberg's house is surrounded by a construction fence because Zuckerberg bought the three lots around his house and raised the houses just to create more privacy for himself. Can you create a worse metaphor? You know, right. You're Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. And also the controversy around his Hawaiian property. He wanted to build the wall around his Hawaiian property. And, you know, Hawaii is a very precious gem. And there was a lot of outcry against that and that, you know, it would be ugly and it would block the view from the general public. And he fought that long and hard. So the hypocrisy is astounding.
Now, see, all they need to do is change the pronoun in their responses from "your personal privacy is important to us" to "my personal privacy is important to me."
That's right.
Well, and the problem is they don't get that first statement right, I think. We were talking offline about the announcement. There's a Reuters story yesterday that, you know, in an interview with Reuters, Zuckerberg said that with the coming GDPR, the general data privacy regulations that go into effect in Europe on May 25th, which are quite sweeping, and apply to all European data wherever it is. So it crosses borders beyond Europe, that they would adhere to that standard for Europeans. And so I tweeted the story out with the caption, you know, we really care about privacy, but not that much. You know, it just sends the wrong message at this time that if they're willing to up their game where they have to, but not where they don't. Any thoughts on that?
It's just more of the same, you know. And I'm curious about Brenda's take on their response, because it was 5 days of silence after the news broke. And Sheryl Sandberg is still hiding under that couch, right?
Yeah,
she hasn't come out at all.
And I had mentioned to Bennett that I had a scoop for this radio show segment, and what it is way back in the infancy of Facebook, when most executives were starting to use it back in 2008, mm-hmm. I had become friendly with their PR director at Facebook through a mutual friend who's an editor. And I was having issues with Facebook, and he said, oh, she'd be happy to help you. She's very friendly, very kind. And then all of a sudden, it was 2 months later, she got laid off, a bunch of people got laid off, and they had an extreme about face and how they interfaced with the public, with the press. They were recalcitrant, you know, they were not very forthcoming, they were not transparent at all, and, you know, she just suddenly got off. So there was definitely a shift back then, and as a PR person in tech for 30 years, you notice these subtleties, and I don't know, I wanted to ask Dan if he had noticed, since you've been working with Facebook from the press side of the fence, have you noticed any difference in their PR approach or their, you know, their outward facing interaction with you and the rest of the press?
Well, I think they're playing nice right now, right? I mean, they went right. They went on a PR tour once Mark, you know, emerged from the couch and, you know, decided to come out in public. Then they did this media blitz. Very obvious. I'm sure it was obvious to you, Brenda, that some PR person was saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shore up your reputation. We're going to do interviews with everyone. We're going to do the exact opposite of what we've done for the last 10 years. In other words, Facebook is one of the companies that is very hard to get into, even to get a comment from, even to get an official no comment from, but they're not the worst. Apple is the worst. Amazon is number 2. Facebook is number 3.
And so it's interesting, you have Apple's CEO leading the charge on Facebook that this the regulation is needed, and you're saying Apple should be target number 1.
Well, no, I'm talking in terms of responsiveness to the media.
Oh, okay.
They answer only to their fans. You know, whereas Facebook will talk with reporters if they think they're friendly. And so there's a handful of reporters who are basically stenographers for Facebook, and they will talk to them. But if you have, you know, a difficult question, they generally don't talk to you, or they'll talk to you on background, which means you can't use it. I actually have questions into them. I'm expecting a response in 4 hours. I sent them 2 days ago. I wrote 2 more pieces about leaving Facebook, one how to do it, and another one on the Facebook data that I downloaded and what was in it. And that was fascinating. And so I've sent them some questions, and I'm waiting to see if they actually respond.
Well, one thing we have to wait and see is what our sponsors say. So we're going to take a short break right now to allow them to see what they say. And when we come back, we'll have more on the Facebook privacy controversy with our favorite guests, Dan Tynan and Brendan Christensen. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for the 2018 International Web Award Competition. Web Marketing Award winners receive an image plaque, certificate of achievement, higher visibility for your company, valuable feedback from our expert judges, and links to your site from the highly ranked Web Award site. Visit www.webaward.org to nominate your company, site, or organization. Deadline for entries is May 31st, 2018. Go to www.webaward.org and sign up today.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
All of your favorite WebmasterRadio.fm programs on air and on demand 24/7. Find our shows on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere you download your podcasts. Add some podcasts to your playlist as part of a better profit margin. More refreshing talk radio on air and on demand 24/7. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Don't get caught in a web of confusion.
Learn the ropes on webmasterradio.fm.
We're everywhere.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And we're back, and we're talking with Dan Tynan and Brennan Christensen about the Facebook privacy controversy, and just a few announcements. Today is the feast day of St. Isidore of Seville. And why do I bring that up? Apparently, he is the patron saint of the internet, which is kind of an odd thought that there actually is a patron saint of the internet. And that, even more interesting, he's from 696 AD, but he wrote some of the first encyclopedias of the Western world. And that's the analogy. So, and for all that is good about the internet, the vast amounts of knowledge it gives you, and the ability to reach out to the entire world, let's celebrate that today. But there was another birthday of note recently, and aside from today's also Maya Angelou's 90th birthday, Dan Tynan was celebrated his birthday on April Fool's Day. What better day than that? So birthday boy, Dan, why don't you lead us off? Where do you see this going?
Well, I should clarify that April 1st is not my birthday. It's my fake birthday. It's the one I put on Facebook because Facebook always asks for a date of birth. And I don't think anyone deserves my date of birth except maybe, you know, the DMV, you know, and my voter registration records. So screw them. So that's not my actual birthday. And I picked April Fool's Day because it's April Fool's Day.
Fittingly so. All right.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, you'll return the gift, right?
You bought me a gift? Wow. Awesome. That's great. So I'm sorry. I missed your question. I was too busy correcting the record.
Oh, no. It's April 2nd, right? No, just kidding. Where do you see this going? Well, no, before we broke, we were talking about Apple and and their role. And so where does Facebook and Apple and Google, where do they fit in on this kind of America's Most Wanted from a privacy point of view?
Well, you know, one thing that people haven't talked about, and I think they will eventually get to talk about, is the role of YouTube.
We're about to.
The role of YouTube in the election, which has been pretty much ignored. YouTube was gamed just as dramatically and effectively by the alt-right as Facebook was. In fact, in some ways, it was probably more effective in terms of spreading viral videos and bot-generated videos. And so I think, you know, as Roger Stone likes to say, it'll be Google's time in the barrel soon enough for this. And in terms of, you know, the general privacy thing, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, Susan Landau, you may know her. She wrote a post on Lawfare recently after the Facebook scandal. And, you know, her take was this was not a security breach. This is a privacy breach. And it was not a breach per se because it was perfectly in line with Facebook's policies. So it's a policy problem and it's a legal problem because we have no legal protections against this stuff. There is no way to sue Facebook over this, at least none that I'm aware of. And what we really need is you know, an enumeration of our rights. And part of that should be determining whose responsibility it is to protect our information, whether it's ours or whether it's Facebook's. And I don't think we're going to get that, but I think we need it.
So, I mean, there is one response is, well, if you're worried about Facebook using all your data, you do what you're doing, Dan, leave.
Right.
And, you know, Facebook, in fact, there was a scandal, one of the many scandals that Facebook had, recently was disclosed that they were using, if you had Facebook on an Android phone, that they were tracking your phone calls. And they said, at first they didn't respond to that. And they said, okay, yeah, it's true, but you consented to that. And I don't think anyone really, and this goes to the kind of the broader debate about privacy and privacy disclosures. I doubt most people were aware that that's what they agreed to. And
I'm sure they weren't aware.
Right. And so that's part of the broader debate. And then, you know, Facebook does have a consent decree with the FTC from 2011. And so to the extent to which they're informing people effectively of their practices is an important issue. But there's also an important issue to the effect that we expect people to inform users about their privacy practices when people ignore those notices. So what's the interplay there? Who has what responsibility in that debate?
Well, I think it's because it's based on an opt-out model. Everything in the U.S. is based on opt-out. We're going to use your information, and if you don't like it, you can tell us not to, but we're not going to make it easy to do so.
Right.
And you know, another point to that is, you know, there's the public face of all this. You know, we can talk about Facebook policy and whether you knew or not, but, my brother, who has a security clearance, and my sister-in-law, who works for the State Department, I cannot interact with them on Facebook because they're not allowed to have a Facebook account.
A real one.
Or any, actually.
Really? It's a condition. You can't respond to their Maxwell Smart account?
Right. Yeah. It's a condition of employment, and their security clearances, they cannot be on Facebook. And my CTO husband, he used to be head of Panda Security. I got the Facebook code back in 2008 for a company, a startup I was launching. They were looking for some API hooks, and they sent it. And I had him look at the code, and he said basically it was Swiss cheese. And he immediately deleted his account way back in 2008. Mm. So... yeah, I'm always about the cloak and dagger behind the scenes parts of this, because there's always the public facing side of everything, and then there's what's really happening behind the scenes. But I agree with both of you. I think the congressional testimony will be the true turning point on what happens with Facebook going forward. But I don't ever see Mark Zuckerberg stepping down. You know, we've had other conversations on the show, you know, about Uber, and the CEO obviously eventually stepped down, but I think that Zuckerberg is never going to step down. He's synonymous with Facebook.
Well, I don't know off the top of my head what percentage of the company does he own.
Good question. Yeah, I know he's worth $62 billion.
That's why they gave me a radio show.
So you ask the questions, don't answer them. So he's worth $62 billion. So just subtract that from Facebook's valuation and we'll know, right? So let's see. This is why we have Google.
Yeah, and according to Google, this is old, but 29.3%. I think it's an older story. Yeah, all the stories I see, TechCrunch, but they're all like kind of old.
It'd be hard to push them out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not impossible, but it would be hard. And... I don't know. I mean, I think, how do you think he'll do next week in front of the committee? In addition, other people, you know, I think Google's being called to testify and Twitter's being called to testify as well, aren't they?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that there are very few members of Congress who know anything about technology.
Right.
And the ones who do, it's because their staff does. So, and their staff won't be asking the questions. So I don't expect this to be a very fruitful discussion.
Well, I mean, they could be reading the questions. And you do see that.
Yeah, they could be, but they won't know when he's stonewalling or bullshitting.
No, I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, I actually testified in front of a panel in Sacramento, and the worst thing in Sacramento is when you testify in a bill, you have to sit at the same table with the legislator whose bill you're testifying on. And so here I am sitting next to this state senator whose bill I'm opposing. And he starts screaming that my company does spyware cookies because he thinks cookies are, you know, are spyware. And we got into a shouting match. It was comical. But this goes to the level of knowledge that they have. And so it is a challenge. And so it'll be interesting to see. But I think people get the concept of privacy, using people's data. I think the creepiness factor comes in, and I got to give tribute to Dave Morgan, and I forget what company it was at the time, but you know, he kind of raised when the behavioral targeting started coming, and there were these companies that were mining data to get even the most detailed information about people to target data. And he says, you know, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should, and that we should be mindful of the creepiness factor. We don't want to turn people off to the internet. And that's an important point. Tim Berners-Lee, the founder of the World Wide Web, recently on the birthday of the web, declared that the internet is under attack. And he said that while it's great that we finally reached the threshold where half the world is now connected to the internet, the question remains, does the other half want to be, in light of what's going on? And it's kind of like someone pissed in the pool. And what are we going to do about it? Do we drain the pool? Do people get out? Do we kick somebody out? I don't know if that's the best analogy, but it just seemed apropos.
It may be like Caddyshack. Maybe it's just a candy bar in the pool. Sorry.
Wow, that was good.
Those are all good questions. And, when I did the privacy event with The Economist on stage, we had a really good discussion about privacy. And this was back in 2010 before it was really newsworthy. And, I think the Europeans are leading the way on this with the GDPR coming up. And, it's actually kind of reversed, because I think throughout most of technology, the U.S. led on policy and innovation. But I see Europe taking its turn now and leading the way, like you said.
Left us in the vacuum.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly.
What is so? I'm Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm in my gated house in Palo Alto, and I talk to you, and say, Brenda, how should I handle next week in front of the committees?
You know what? I think his only recourse now, if I was his PR counselor, I would tell him to come out as Scientologist. And everyone would leave him alone. but seriously, I'm sure he's being coached right now for his congressional testimony, and I really think that's going to be the watermark for what happens going forward. And and it's interesting when you've been in public relations at the Fortune 500 level, like myself, and you work very closely with legal, and at a certain point, legal takes over and PR takes the back seat. So I'm sure it's all legal leading everything right now. And of course, I've gotten in fisticuffs almost literally with legal counsel on how to proceed. But I know right now that the emphasis has got to be on this congressional testimony.
Right. In terms of messaging, obviously, this is going to be his most widely covered appearance, possibly in his lifetime.
Right.
And
I keep seeing, echoes of Bill Gates, when the Clinton administration went after him. And, it's a very treacherous walk forward. And I agree with Dan about how this is going to be the shift. This is going to be the shift going forward about the internet and privacy, and how much do we give up, and do we give up any at all, and do we even want to be on the internet? And this raises all these good questions.
And I think you're right. I think it does raise a lot of good questions. And is there a market failure, or do we need to do something to allow a more competition in this area so consumers have a choice?
Well, it's hard to compete in the technology world because we tend to favor one supplier. One supplier wins. It's really a winner-take-all business. Google, Amazon, Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? And
no, there's Yahoo's competing with Google. Oops. Never mind.
yeah. Yeah, but I'm in the wrong way for data breaching. Yahoo's way ahead on data breaches.
They have the record, yes.
Yes, exactly. So they have that.
I want to talk about the cultural aspects of this, too. I've been in technology since 1985, and it's a very tight-knit community, or it has been in the past. And typically when these events occurred in the past, we would all circle our wagons together, right? But I'm seeing, Tim Cook turning against Zuckerberg and Elon Musk turning against people. So it's really,
Facebook satellite.
Yeah, it's been a cultural shift, Yeah, right. Yeah. And I see all these general news stories about, Silicon Valley under attack, and they're no longer the darlings. And now they're all kind of this backbiting and no more. There's this cultural shift. There's no more circling the wagons and looking after each other. So it's always been a vicious, like you said, dog eat dog, and winner takes all, as ABBA says. But I think that in this whole privacy battle, this is going to be a major shift change culturally, not only for Silicon Valley, but for the world.
I think you're right. I think I've used the word buyer's remorse, which isn't the best word to describe it. But I think we've evolved from the early 2000s, where we had kind of internet utopianism, to people more and more becoming more sanguine about what's going on, and now being more skeptical about it, the benefits of some of the things that they at one point embraced, including Facebook. Now you're seeing polls showing widespread distrust of Facebook now, and a number of people considering, I think 1/3 of tech workers are considering leaving Facebook. I made an analogy, I called it the Internet of Hal, that in reference to the 2001 Space Odyssey movie, that, where Hal took over the spaceship and has that famous line, I'm sorry, Dave. And, people have realized that this thing that they embrace may have gotten bigger than themselves and gotten out of control, and maybe they don't like that.
Well, I don't think Facebook's going to die as a result of this. I don't think they're going to lose a lot of people at all. But hopefully what will come out of this is people will become more cognizant of the data they're sharing and take more control over it. And hopefully Facebook will make that easy. And this has been my main argument with them for many years, which is they deliberately make it hard to control your privacy. Right. And it would be incredibly easy for them to give you one button that you click and make everything private.
Now, Brenda, you're a PR professional and you promote your business on Facebook, as do I. And what do you say to someone who's a business person about how do they approach Facebook?
I tell all of my business friends to always seek legal counsel, and I tell them to call you, Bennett. but it's true. It's true. It's becoming, in a lot of ways, the internet has opened up the world, but it's made it more complicated as well. So I think it's always good to have a really good legal friend on hand. And, just like Dan says, know what's going on behind the scenes, know what if you're opted in or opted out. These are all really good questions any business person should be asking themselves whenever you go through into any type of medium.
That's a good question. One big question for me is I need to take a break and hear what my advertisers have to say, but we'll be right back. You're listening to CyberLaw and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the CyberLaw and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is frayed,
and we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Read by members of the Y.
The Y, for a better us.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix. Zoe Social, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. Zoe Social is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let Zoe Social give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to zosocial.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Radio's virtual Autobahn.
WebmasterRadio.fm, moving at the speed of light. WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And we're back. This is Bennett Kelly, and we're talking with Dan Tynan and Brendan Christensen about the current Facebook controversy. And as I mentioned, our show notes are on our blog at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com. And they also have links to a number of articles of what's going on today, including, I don't know if you've heard about this, what's happened in Atlanta, where a ransomware attack has shut down many of the city's computers for about a week. And so the question is, maybe they should have paid the ransom, but when a major city like that can be shut down by ransomware, it is really troubling. But one of the articles is a link to a post on our blog at Cyber Report for the Internet Law Center, and we're also on internetlawcenter.net, is that it talks about the evolution and the shift of what's going on in Capitol Hill and in Europe. And you've seen the tech lobby in retreat. They were at one point, they were 100% against SESTA. And then once all this stuff came out about the role of the social media in the 2016 election, they said they retreated completely. And in addition, at a recent hearing at the confirmation of Joe Simmons to be Federal Trade Commission chairman, he and other FTC nominees said, "We're open to revisiting whether the tech giants have abused their market position." And in addition, there was a quote from the New York Times from a European analyst who said, "We're at an inflection point when the great wave of optimism about tech is giving way to growing alarm. This is the moment when Europeans turn to the state for protection and answers and are less likely than Americans to rely on the market to sort out the imbalances." Is that where you think we are? I mean, Americans are kind of focused on the market to solve itself, while Europeans are saying this is unacceptable?
I don't think Americans are focused on anything, honestly. Okay.
What?
I don't think we think about it. And the reason that Europe has always had much stronger data privacy regulations is because they had to think about it because, you know, they were overrun by Nazis.
Yeah.
No, yeah, imagine if the Nazis had Facebook. Right?
They have a greater sensitivity to misuse of data because of that experience.
Yes, exactly. Whereas in the United States, people are very ignorant about it. I mean, this is an eye-opening thing that psychometrics can be used in this way to micro-target voters and to influence elections. This is new, right?
Right.
But I still think most people go, eh.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a cynic. What can I say?
So you don't... And so there are a lot of people going to be, I imagine at the hearings, and Brenda, you and what you think, but there'll be a lot of grandstanding. I mean, basically, Zuckerberg is going to get to put it bluntly, a mild ass whooping, I think, from Capitol Hill as, you know, people grandstand and show how tough they are. But after he leaves, I don't suspect anything's going to happen. Brenda?
I think it could go one of two ways. Obviously, I think his political aspirations have been put on hold. And I think that he's never going to step down. I think they're still hoping it's going to blow over like Stormy Daniels. And it just keeps you know, keeps going and going. You know, as Dan knows, we call this legs. This story has legs. It's been going on for weeks. And I think it's going to force them to a point after the congressional testimony to either make radical changes on the surface, but I think it's just going to still be business as usual behind the scenes for Facebook.
And I always explain, I in the 80s when I was in law school, I worked for a banking lobbyist, and I saw how difficult it was to get things through Congress, and in part because for the banking industry, they had, for some of the legislation they wanted, they had to get three different sets of regulators involved, and then they had to get banking and securities and all these other industries at the table all agree. And so I always tell people, when you think about privacy legislation, think about the table and who's at it. Mm-hmm. And the more people at that table, the more complex it gets.
Exactly. And I had a really good conversation with Richard Saul Werman about this. You know, I told him about my background as a journalist. And as a journalist, you're either your predilection is towards consuming large amounts of data and slicing and dicing it, and you're also trained that way. You're almost trained to be like a machine, like a robot, to process all this data. I said, but now we're doing data dumps on people on Facebook through social networks, and you know, how is this experience for the average user? And he said, these are all good questions, and what's so great about journalism is that keep asking questions. And right. Yeah. I mean,
all right. A non-answer.
A non-answer. Yes. A non-answer. But I think he was trying to say that this is not going to be, I don't think this is going to be solved within a year, within 5 years, within a decade. But there are market forces that bear on these things. And, you know, now that users are leaving Facebook, and there's cycles in technology, and Dan knows this too, they tend to run in 10, 15 year cycles. So what's going to be the next thing? And Facebook is probably going to go into obscurity like MySpace. I don't know. But that's kind of my prediction. I think that it'll just kind of take care of itself. And it'll, you know, these kind of companies tend to devour themselves.
You know, one of our early shows was with a high school classmate named William Powers, who is the author of Hamlet's Blackberry, and which was a reflection really on how the role of, you know, how people have dealt with great periods of technological change, and the role of technology in our life. I mean, Bill actually, he and his family at that time would take a Cyber Sabbath. They would, not for religious reasons, but you know, from Friday sundown to Monday morning, they would not access the internet. And you know, he kind of lamented what he viewed as a digital maximalism, that the idea the more connected we are, the better. And he recounted a story where he was rowing. He lives in Cape Cod, and he's rowing a boat with his son, and his phone fell in the water, and he felt liberated. and you know, he just noted that one day he sat on a bench and watched all these people walk by, and the number of people walking who were looking at their phones and not the water near them, it just struck him. And so is this a moment where we also reflect about, hey, you know, as people try to leave Facebook, I see people saying, I'm going to take a break from Facebook. Is this a point where also people reflect on, you know, is this time suck really giving me what I want from it?
Mm. Yes, I agree. And I just, that's why I decided it wasn't giving me what I want. I mean, not just the whole Cambridge Analytica thing, but the fact that Facebook's algorithms choose what I see. And, you know, it's trying to learn from what I do. So God forbid I click on the wrong thing, because all of a sudden now I get more of that, right?
So one important question then is, where do you get your puppy and kitten photos?
That's a good question. Well, I'm really hoping that, Bennett, that you will email me puppy and kitten photos on a regular basis.
What about you, Brenda?
I think a drone delivery of puppy and kitten photos is going to be the new medium. But, you know, I think we're all Dan now. I was just fascinated with his story that he wrote in Fast Company. And, you know, I did a search on what they had data they had collected on me. And the most alarming or most satisfying part was they referred to me online and after collecting data on me for, what, 10 years now, that I'm a political moderate. I thought that was really funny. I'm definitely an anarchist, so I had to pat myself on the back and say, hey, you've done a good job. Done a good job all these years of tricking Facebook. But I agree with Dan. I mean, I think people are learning that there are only very specialized people and entities who shouldn't have your personal information, like your birthday, where you were born. So those things are important, and I think it raises awareness around that.
And so we only have a few minutes left. Brenda, why don't you start off? Tell us about your company and where people can get more information about you.
Well, people can get more information about me on my Facebook page.
Which one?
Right. Stellar Public Relations. We've got 3 years of experience in tech, public relations, communications, and security and privacy. And I highly encourage you to also call Bennett Kelly. He's one of the top internet lawyers.
Thank you.
And has so many puppy and kitten photos, you wouldn't believe.
That's right.
More on the puppy side than the kitten. But what about you, Dan? We only got a minute left.
So I haven't killed my Twitter account yet, which is at Tynan Writes, and I'm sticking with LinkedIn for the time being, where I can be found. So one point I want to make before we close is that Facebook is an advertising company at its heart. It makes its revenue from advertising. And Facebook and Google have disintermediated traditional media. They now get 70% of all advertising dollars on the internet. Someone's going to come along and disintermediate them at some point. Mm-hmm.
Everyone is disrupted eventually, I guess. Is that
eventually?
Eventually. The question is for how long. But yeah, I mean, no one saw the fall of MySpace coming, or the fall of Yahoo, or the pets.com. Maybe we saw that one coming. But I want to thank you both. It's always a pleasure to start my Wednesday with you guys. And you've been such great friends of the show. But no, you also made a very valid points today, and really kind of expanded listeners' awareness of what's at play here. This is a very important debate, and it's important that we have it. It's important that people understand what's going on and how their data is being used, and that just how we do it in the U.S. isn't how it's done in the rest of the world. So this is an important debate to have, and we'll be continuing our coverage of this here at Cyber Law and Biz Report. So I hope you join us again. This is Bennett Kelly from the Internet Law Center in downtown Santa Monica. And as Brenda plugged, you can find us at internetlawcenter.net. And you can also find us here next week at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern. So this is Bennett Kelly. Have a great week. We will see you next week. All the best.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.